GreenSense is brought to you by JLT Specialty USA, the world's largest energy insurance broker, serving the entire energy continuum. Visit JLTUS.com.
Welcome to GreenSense, a weekly look at the people, policies, and innovations that are changing our world. Here's Robert Colangelo.
Thanks for joining us. I'm Robert Colangelo, a scientist, author, and environmental entrepreneur who founded and serve as the host of GreenSense.
I'm Bob Kessler, our executive producer. This week, you know, lights, water heaters, decks, other stuff that are used in your home. Well, what's the most green stuff? We'll find out from Green Build magazine. Also, more fish are making it on the list of endangered species. Why does it matter, and what can we do to save those wonderful swimming wildlife?
All coming up on this week's edition of GreenSense. Saving energy tops the list of more and more people who are improving their homes and for the people who do the work to improve them. Green Builder is the leading media company in the residential building industry focused exclusively on green building and responsible growth. In their latest issue, they surveyed contractors and other green pros about who's best when it comes to lights, water heaters, deck materials, and other stuff used in building and improving homes. Joining us is CEO Sarah Gutterman. Welcome, Sarah.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Your tagline is building a better world, and you have some cool concepts on your website, like the Flex Home. Tell us a little bit more about how you started the magazine and got involved with this.
Sure. About 11 years ago, we launched Green Builder Media with Green Builder Magazine, our flagship publication. It was a trade publication for building professionals because that's how they were receiving their information and ideas and inspiration. But as the world of digital media has evolved, so too have we. And so probably not surprisingly, the bulk of our media communications these days is through digital media and content marketing.
How has green and sustainability become more of a priority for home builders in the last 10 to 15 years?
That's a great question. So a decade ago, green building was a little oblique and people didn't quite understand it. Fortunately, I think that energy efficiency, especially with the recession, became an incredibly important topic and helped push the green building industry into the mainstream. Nowadays, what we're seeing is that there are a lot of other categories that have become as important as energy. So for example, we're seeing indoor air quality quickly shifting from a nice to have to a must have for home buyers, and therefore it's increasing in priority for builders. Certainly we're seeing a lot of innovation in the smart home technology space to streamline resource use and performance in homes, to save energy and water, to address that indoor air quality issue. And then certainly, last but not least, we're seeing a lot of convergence between smart and solar systems with renewable energy increasing in importance for building professionals as well.
Well, one of the issues that I've noticed out there is many construction products use chemicals that may be harmful to human health and the environment. What are you seeing companies do to make the construction materials cleaner and safer?
Another good question. we're seeing.
Hey, that's why I get paid the big bucks.
That's great. Good for you. We're seeing a lot of companies address chemicals and toxins in their products and materials, certainly on the input side as well as on the off-gassing side. So those companies are mostly addressing things like volatile organic compounds or VOCs. They're addressing other toxins like formaldehyde, which, again, off-gas and create a toxic environment within the home. So for building professionals as well as for homeowners, it's really important that when they're specifying anything from cabinets to flooring to paint, even behind the walls products like insulation, that they look for products that specifically say that they have no or low VOCs, toxins, formaldehyde, or other pollutants in the home.
Well, you've done this survey recently with companies to pick which ones were best. Do the companies who top your survey do a good job of delivering on green? Or is it that they're just the best at marketing and promoting themselves as sustainable companies?
Yes. Yeah, so the survey you're referring to is our Reader's Choice survey. And what I would say is when we started doing this survey a decade ago, there were more companies that were good at marketing and fewer companies that were really authentic in their message. Fortunately, that has evolved substantially. And I would say that pretty much across the board, all of the companies that were represented in our survey and most of the companies that we work with actually have a very authentic story when it comes to sustainability. That story may differ from company to company. Some may be great at reducing manufacturing waste, you know, their net zero waste. Others may really produce very green materials because of resource efficiency or recyclability or using recycled inputs. But there's been a lot of innovation when it comes to sustainability on the corporate side. But I think it's also worthwhile to note that it's not just that these companies have made their products and their manufacturing processes and even their operations greener. It's also that they're using their power to affect things on a national and even global scale. Let's just take a look at what's happening in D.C. with the current administration considering the possibility of abandoning the Paris Accord. It's the private sector led by these large corporations that is demanding that we stick to our climate commitments. So I think that they're playing a very important role, not only in making greener products, but also in encouraging progress when it comes to climate action.
If you've just joined us, my guest is Sarah Gutterman, CEO of Green Build Media. And we're talking about who is best when it comes to green builders. I'm Robert Colangelo, and this is Green Sense. So, Sarah, have you've seen a lot less greenwashing out there than when things first came about?
Yes, absolutely. It still occurs from time to time. And when we see it, we always try to encourage the companies to stop greenwashing and really put action behind their talk. But I think that greenwashing has certainly diminished in our sector, partly because those that do greenwash or have greenwashed recently do get called out for it. And when it comes to understanding whether or not a company is greenwashing, we always encourage our audience to really dig beneath the surface. Don't just trust claims at face value, but, you know, ask the right questions, ask hard questions to companies, you know, get, you know, some third party verification, whether that's through, you know, a company like ours, Green Builder Media, or listening to your radio show for product ideas, or talking with their peers, or also certainly looking for certifications that are appropriate. for those types of products and that are relevant to those categories?
Yes, consumers have become a lot more educated these days, and it's good for them to question. And with the availability of the web and access to information, I think that's a good thing for all of us. Well, when I look at your survey, some of the names that top your list are ones we probably all know. Amazon, which has the best smart home technology platform. Tesla got the best solar system components. Any surprises that you'd like to talk about in the survey results?
Yeah, there were a few. Certainly, the brands that you mentioned, Amazon, Tesla, as well as some of the mainstays of this reader survey with brands like Bosch and Panasonic and DuPont and Kohler, those are, were kind of expected, right? Those are winners year after year. A few of the surprises, though, one, Mitsubishi in the HVAC category, that indicates kind of a shift in that segment from ducted systems to an increase or a rise in awareness about ductless mini split systems, which is kind of an interesting trend in that category.
Go into that a little bit more for the for our listeners. What is the difference?
So if you think about a conventional heating and cooling system, that is one where you have ducts in your walls and there's forced air that's being pumped throughout a house. While those systems in general have increased substantially in efficiency led by companies like Carrier and Ingersoll Rand, who have incredibly efficient systems, they also have fresh air exchange or ERV systems for ventilation. They are not always appropriate or not always the best solution for homes, especially smaller footprint homes or multifamily homes with condos and apartments. And so ductless mini split systems, meaning you don't have those big ducts, it's not forced air, those are more efficient and more appropriate for certain applications. And it's a technology that is fairly widespread in Asia and in Europe, relatively newer here in the U.S. It's been around for a little while, but we're just starting to see more of an adoption, particularly in the types of housing units that I just mentioned, smaller footprint homes and multifamily applications.
Sarah, thanks very much. Very informative. There's so much more we can cover, but our time is almost up. I appreciate you being on GreenSense, and thanks for sharing your insight, and we wish you the best of luck with that continued survey.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me. It was a pleasure to be here with you.
Green Builder CEO Sarah Gutterman talking about their Reader's Choice Awards issue. We've provided a link on this week's show notes. Remember to subscribe to the GreenSense Radio podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play when you visit greensensefarms.com.
This is Bob Kessler, executive producer of GreenSense Radio. Every week, we cover environmental issues and meet passionate people and sustainable innovators. You might have noticed we do it with very few commercials. Our advertisers, they're just part of what supports GreenSense. We need the help of our listeners, also passionate people who care about the planet and know the value of independent media, which matters now more than ever. We've just launched our fundraising drive so you can help us continue to bring you informative and inspiring shows. Your contributions will cover our small production staff, which seeks out and schedules interviews, edits them, and puts together GreenSense every week. Plus, there's the cost of online hosting and studio equipment. So when you visit greensensefarms.com, click on Radio Show to make a contribution via Podbean. Takes just a few minutes, and as we often say on the program, individual actions multiplied by millions can yield big results. So if you're inspired by our positive and informative shows, we're asking you to help keep GreenSense going. Visit greensensefarms.com and click Radio Show to contribute.
contribute to our fundraising drive via Podbean. On behalf of all of us at Green Sense Radio, thank you.
More than half of all marine species may be at risk of extinction within the next 100 years unless we make significant conservation efforts. That's according to the organization Wild Earth Guardians, which has been helping to add 6 types of fish to the list of protected species. Joining us is Bethany Cotton from Wild Earth Guardians. Bethany, how did you personally get involved with Wild Earth Guardians?
I've worked for Guardians for just coming up on 4 years, and I am an environmental attorney, and I focus on wildlife advocacy, and Guardians is an excellent place to work if that is what you're trying to do for the world.
So you're working there's 5 kinds of sharks and something called a guitarfish, which were added to the list of protected species. Many people have not seen or heard of these fish. Can you give us an overview of them?
Sure. So we actually petitioned 76 species and 5 subpopulations of species back in 2013 for protections. And these animals live in the ocean all around the world. So these specific 6 species have distributions in different parts of the ocean. And all sharks are facing very serious threats from overfishing and from targeting specifically for their fins, unfortunately, for what certain people consider a delicacy called shark fin soup. And guitarfish are often imperiled because of the aquarium trade.
So they were threatened by overfishing. Are these fish themselves fish, or are they eaten, or are they caught and killed when other things are being fished?
In general, most of these fish are caught as bycatch, unfortunately, by fishing systems that do not have a way to not catch non-target animals. But some of them are also targeted specifically for their fins and used in some foods.
How does the Endangered Species Act help them, and what makes it an effective form of protection?
Sure. So when we're dealing with international species, because they are outside of U.S. waters, we can't actually protect their specific habitat because we don't have any authority to do that. But we can implement regulations and look at our trade policies to address the threats to those species and to encourage the countries that do have authority over those habitats to improve protections more locally and help those species recover. And we can certainly ensure that we are not importing those fish themselves or the fish that might be targeted that result in catching these animals as bycatch, if that makes sense.
What is the teeth in the Endangered Species Act? Jail time? Is it fines? What can you do to force and change behavior with that act?
Sure. So there are a number of enforcement mechanisms in the law, but one of them are just these regulations that require if a planned activity is going to hurt or kill protected species, then the government has to take a really hard look at that before approving any such activity. So it can prevent or at least ensure that those activities are modified to ensure they don't further imperil these species. And it often provides habitat protections as well. That means because it's not just the species themselves that are in trouble, it's often because their habitat is under threat or has been destroyed or modified. and we can use the law to ensure that that doesn't happen more, and make sure that those species have the habitat they need to recover.
If you've just joined us, this is Green Sense. I'm Robert Colangelo, and my guest is Bethany Cotton from Wild Earth Guardians, and we're talking about protecting endangered marine species. Bethany, usually putting people in jail or fines can shape behavior pretty well.
There are some enforcement. If you are breaking the law, there is the potential that you could face fines or jail time. That's something that the government has to enforce. But the Endangered Species Act has this very prescient aspect, which is called the citizen supervision. And that means that if the government itself is not enforcing the law, that citizens or conservation organizations can step into the government's shoes and ensure that the government is doing its job, including protecting species and protecting their habitat. And that's often what Wild Earth Guardians does. When we see that the Endangered Species Act is not being enforced, we step into the government's shoes and we can challenge activities that are putting species or their habitat at risk.
Oh, that's good to hear. And your organization, Wild Earth Guardians, first petitioned for the protection of these six fish in 2013. Why did it take so long to get these approved?
Well, unfortunately, the government is awfully slow and they often miss their deadlines for Endangered Species Act protection. So the way the process is supposed to work under the law, that within 90 days of a petition, the federal agency charged with ensuring protection makes an initial determination, and then within a year after that, makes a listing recommendation and then finalizes that recommendation within a year after that. And these were a little late, but they weren't terribly late. And we've been working for many years to ensure that these agencies get enough funding and that they are able to actually meet the deadlines in the law.
What mechanisms are out there other than legislation that can be used to protect endangered species?
Well, there are several other environmental laws that often come into play about whether a species will be impacted by a proposed project or an activity, whether that's a mine or a road or logging project or drilling in a marine ecosystem. Those obviously all have potential to harm the environment and to harm species. And there are several environmental laws that come into play, including the National Environmental Policy Act and the Endangered Species Act, and sometimes others. But it also are, they're often political decisions, and it's very important that people speak up and tell their elected leaders that they believe in protecting our most imperiled species and that we should all do everything we can to prevent extinction. And that includes doing all we can to address what is the most overwhelming threat to species, and that's climate change.
What about education? What role do you play educating people to change behavior?
Education is absolutely key, and we have a website that includes a lot of information, biology and background and habitat needs for many of the species that we work to protect and many of this country's most imperiled species to help educate folks. And we see a lot of traffic from students and educational organizations who are looking for more information. We table at events and provide information and toolkits and stickers and background on all of these issues. And we work with law students and graduate students and sometimes undergrad students when we actually write our petitions for imperiled species to help them understand that process. We actually have a guide to petitioning for protection for species.
The Endangered Species Act came into being in 1973 under President Nixon. In your opinion, is the act in any danger of going extinct under this administration?
The act is under extreme threat, and that's a tragedy. The idea that the concept of protecting threatened and imperiled species and ensuring that humans do not cause extinction of animals like grizzly bears and wolves and polar bears and whales, is partisan is one of the saddest things that's happened in the last 45 years. That value should not matter what your political affiliation is, because protecting habitat helps all of us. Having clean air to breathe and clean water to drink and rivers and lakes to swim in that are uncontaminated, that should be a value that all humans share, and certainly that all Americans share. So we are very concerned about the rhetoric coming out of Congress and the administration about the law, and we'll do everything we can to protect it. And we ask all Americans to join us in that effort.
Bethany, thanks for joining us on Green Sense, and good luck with your efforts.
Thanks very much, Robert. Have a nice day.
That's Bethany Cotton with Wild Earth Guardians joining us on Green Sense. I'm Robert Colangelo, reminding you to subscribe to the Green Sense Radio podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play when you visit greensensefarms.com. Thanks for listening to this week's edition of Green Sense. Head over to greensensefarms.com, click on Radio Show, and support our Podbean patron drive. Now more than ever is the time to support independent media, and we need your help. And we'll be back next week with another one.
Yes, you know, we are overrun with plastic in this world of ours. Maybe the caterpillars can help. How about that? Also, a way to cut down on all the food waste, you can make beer out of bread.
Visit greensensefarms.com, subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play. You can check out the list of radio stations that air our show. Stay fresh, keep innovating, because when you're green, you grow.
GreenSense is recorded in the Duneland ecosystem on the eastern shores of Lake Michigan at GreenSense Farms, the largest indoor commercial vertical farm in the world. We walk the walk and talk the talk, growing leafy green vegetables 24/7, free of pesticides, herbicides, with non-GMO seeds, conserving resources, and reducing waste. Watch us grow. The program is copyright GreenSense Farms, all rights reserved.
Green Sense is brought to you by JLT Specialty USA, the world's largest energy insurance broker, serving the entire energy continuum. Visit jltus.com.